That's going to be my Simply Fiat voice. Good evening, Simply Fiat. We're Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news from Twitter, the daily fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs. All right, let's dive into the numbers. Let's do it.
Number time.
Sponsored by...
Number time is brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. Get your tickets now to the largest Bitcoin conference ever. Use the promo code SIMPLYBITCOIN. Get your tickets now with the link down below.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 708,835. The Bitcoin price, 66,820. Chain rewrite day, 769. Total public Lightning capacity, 3,187.38. Sats per dollar, or Moscow time, 1497. Blocks to the halving, 131,165. Now, total public Lightning capacity yesterday, Nico, was 3,182. Today it's 87, but I swear it looked like the same number as yesterday, even though I know it's not.
Man, I'm just saying. It might be.
Look at how it's holding.
It might be the same. But you know what actually like really, you know, has me bullish, Phil? Is man, that sats per dollar price, bro. That sats per dollar price, I'm telling you, it's nice, dude. It's really nice.
I think that right now we don't, and I do agree with you, it's totally amazing, but I think that we don't appreciate it yet. It's gonna get crazy once we hit 1,000, and once it starts going below that. And let's be honest, once it gets to 100, this is just going to be craziness.
Dude, if it dips below 1,000, you mean. If the sats per dollar, if the Moscow time, let's call it for what it is, the Moscow time, if it dips below 1,000, the internet's just going to break, bro.
Yeah, no, the internet breaks, but then I'm saying once we go below 100, right? Think about that. We're getting close to CentSat parity, right?
Dude, I there's way too many fucking Leotas for me to imagine. There's going to be Leotas everywhere. Like, you're just going to go outside. There's going to be Leota stickers on, you know, like, random people's cars. Man, it's going to be like the end of the movie, The V for Vendetta. But anyways, Phil,
No more hopium. Okay.
I got I got an interesting metric from my Glassnode subscription that I barely use that I got for us. And check this out. I made it black, but it could be white. So you guys have to let me know which color is easier on your eyes. Okay. Anyways, what are we looking at? Number of addresses with a balance of 0.1. And check this out, dude.
Or
this
less.
This is beautiful. This is just literally a straight line going up. And it actually kind of coincides with the price a little bit. Now, we move on to 0.01, right? We actually have something similar, right? We had a spike in the 2017 when, you know, retail kind of got interested, but that keeps going up. This tells me the number of Bitcoin users is actually increasing, right? Now, if we go to the number of addresses, something very interesting happens, Phil, right? Remember Steve Hanke's article the other day saying, oh, you know, it's just the rich are getting richer in Bitcoin. That's actually not the case at all. Check this out. Look at the distribution for the number of addresses holding one Bitcoin or above. It kind of stables out here, right? And if you compare that with 0.1, it keeps going up. And if you compare that especially with even smaller addresses, man, it's even more, the curve is even higher, right? So really interesting statistics, and it just shows me a couple things. It shows me that, dude, the higher up we go in price, the harder it is, you know, to stack full increments of Bitcoin. But it also tells me that there's a lot of people joining the Bitcoin network, taking self-custody, because that metric would only be accurate if it's people actually having, you know, their Bitcoin off of exchanges in their own addresses, right? You know, it can't be completely precise, but, you know, it's again, it's not hopium. That's signal right there. You know, that's actual signal that you could verify, that's tangible. And of course, we put our sources down below. What are your thoughts on that, Phil? Isn't it interesting?
You know what? All I got to say is hodlers matter. Okay? There you go. The hodlers, we matter, right? Like the people that are stacking, there you go. The proof is right there. That's fantastic. I think that's great to see. You know, and again, to your point, that is actual signal, not like the hopium we were talking about before, okay, with that number, you know, going down. It's like, this is actual signal, right? This is actual adoption. This is people taking Bitcoin seriously and stacking it. And it's, look, you know what? You got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, off zero. That was a huge meme back in like 2017, 2018. I remember that, like, that was massive, right? Just get off zero.
Yeah, dude, get off zero and, dude, just take advantage of, like, because it, here's the thing. This is where I think exchanges commit murder. Like, we need to migrate to a SAT standard, okay? Because the unit bias is so strong that, you know, a lot of the uninitiated, the no coiners, feel like, look, I'd rather have 1,000 XRP than 0.000 something Bitcoin. And that's where sats are so useful. I know Cash App has already took the initiative to do that. And I know I'm pretty sure also Strike as well. But there needs to be more mainstream, exchanges using the SAT denominator. Brian Armstrong was actually asked, in a tweet thread. I doubt I'll be able to find it, but essentially, you know, he said to quote what he said, you know, we're looking into it. But it's actually funny. I don't see an exchange like Coinbase moving to a SAT standard because that's just gonna take their fees away from all the shit coins. You know, it's much harder to sell a shit coin when all of a sudden you could buy, you know, thousands, 100,000 satoshis, right? That actually makes you feel psychologically like you have skin in the game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the unit bias, unfortunately, is very difficult, and of course, right, because everybody is brainwashed Keynesian, it just makes sense, right? Oh, look, I can get so much more of this. You know, not realizing that the inherent qualities are completely different. So.
Absolutely. But anyways, wow. Phil, it's time for
The Daily Fail, sponsored by
Zoom. Zoom.
The Daily Fail is brought to you by Amber App. Check them out, amber.app. Bitcoin made easy. Easiest way to invest in Bitcoin. The link is down below. What do you want? Yellow. What's up?
Amber, the smart way to stack sats.
So I use this app called Shitcoin Panic, or its real name is Crypto Panic. But you know what? It's a great aggregator for shitcoin news, and it helps me find a lot of garbage, such as this article that we are going to look over. And when I started reading this, I was like, you know what? We haven't really done an episode on Ethereum's, you know, pre-mine and that, you know, that whole thing. So yeah, we're gonna dive into that. But I also want people to pay special attention to the marketing efforts behind this, because keep in mind, right, Bitcoin, we have no marketing department. It's just a bunch of us that read the white paper, dug into the information, learned about how Bitcoin works, and decided, holy crap, this is the best thing. I am sticking with this, and I want to accumulate more, and I want to understand it better. Anyways, this has a fantastic marketing department and sells you complete bullshit. Okay, and here we go. Let's dive into this BS.
Wait. So what you're saying is that they didn't burn 800,000 Ethereum?
Oh, no. They burnt them. But again, right, we're going to zoom out and... You know, we're going to discuss the fact that, because I don't want to spoil it, right? I don't really want to spoil it, but think about it, right? They're burning tokens, but there's no hard cap. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
To be honest with you, it just reminds me of a Frankenstein creature of the fiat system we have today, where the founders of Ethereum are just like, hey, if we manipulate the monetary policy and we actually burn some tokens... the value of Ethereum is actually going to go up. Anyway, centralized garbage. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Phil. And I'm sorry that my alarm that was supposed to wake me up at 5:55 is actually going...
6:20.
I don't know what the hell's wrong with my phone.
All right, that's an alarm fail right there. Okay, no, but look, right? Like we just said, it's utter trash. It doesn't make a difference that they're burning 800,000 of them, and we are going to show you why it doesn't matter, okay? Here we go. Let's dive into this. Okay, so the key takeaway, right? More than 800,000 ETH has been burned since the implementation of EIP-1559. We discussed this in previous episodes. This is essentially, quote-unquote Ethereum improvement, protocol or whatever the hell it is, but it's essentially the change that makes it so that now they can burn fees, okay? So they can essentially give the illusion that this is a deflationary currency. Keep in mind, right, they were able to just add this. So, okay, now we're doing this, and everyone just goes along with it. Anyways, it's not centralized. Okay, here we go. ETH burn volume crosses 3.8 billion, okay? In August 2021, EIP-1559, also called the London Hard Fork, introduced the concept of burning a portion of the gas fee for all Ethereum transactions. Since the implementation and for all activity on the network, more than 800,000 ETH has been burned, per the latest data. 9,909 ETH, or about 47 million, was burned just in the last 24 hours, according to, this is good stuff right here, ultrasound.money, a website tracking this specific metric. Let's go take a peek at this. So this is, again, right? This is what I'm talking about with the marketing department, right? They need to, so keep in mind, right? Remember, the U.S. government once paid millions of dollars. I think it was like over $20 million or $30 million to market the $20 bill. Well, here we go. Taking a page right out of the fiat scammer handbook, we've got ultrasound.money, ultrasound awakening. Ooh, look at that. It sends shivers, right? Everybody's a magician in the Dungeons and Dragons world. And here you go. Here's all the BS metrics. But anyways, that's not really what we're looking. Yeah.
And let me make a quick analogy. Like, you just scroll up a little bit, Phil. Like, really, an observation, right?
Shit.
Bitcoin doesn't need this, right? Bitcoin just...
This is marketing!
But let me tie that up, right? What does fiat represent? It represents the full faith of the U.S. government, right? The full faith and credit of the U.S. government. The same thing here. What does ETH represent? Ultrasound awakening. Track ETH. Become ultrasound. The point is, with both those two statements, one in fiat and one in Ethereum, to do the Joe Biden whisper, they're just words. They don't mean anything.
It's so true. It's so true. So, right, here we go. Part of the marketing, right? Ultrasound money. Okay, let's continue. ETH is the second largest cryptocurrency and the native token used to pay for all transactions on Ethereum, the very blockchain that underpins the majority of value locked in decentralized finance, or DeFi. Let's go take a look at that value locked in DeFi, right? We love the Rekt leaderboard. This is just the main page of the Rekt board. Here we go. Starting October 15th, we've got Indexed Finance Rekt for 16 million. We've got Cream Finance on the 28th of October Rekt for approximately 130 million. And we've got BZX, which we covered yesterday, Rekt for 55 million.
Yeah, compound in there. Phil, I'm pretty proud of us, bro. We've covered, I would say, 90% of those rug pulls on the Rekt leaderboard, bro. We've covered every single one. Oh, man.
All right, so here we go. The sustained gas fee burn and high demand for ETH across hundreds of dApps support the argument that the asset has become a good store of value, or ultrasound money.
There it is again.
But here it is again. This is psychotic and nuts. Anyways, we're gonna dive into some Vitalik stupidity in a second. Ethereum still has a long way to go to address its scalability issues. The high fees and slow transactions on Ethereum have been known to hamper the user experience. These issues have reportedly contributed to the rise and adoption. This is very important. This is why it's another reason why it's not ultrasound money. Another box to check why it's a shitcoin. These issues have reportedly contributed to the rise and adoption of other Layer 1 blockchains like Binance Smart Chain, Solana, Phantom, Cosmos, whatever freaking shitcoin you want. It doesn't matter. Several Layer 2 solutions have found significant adoption as well to mitigate high gas fees. So other people are doing what this shitcoin can't do better than it's doing already. Okay?
And dude,
let's continue.
Yeah. There's a reason for that. No, move on to the next page.
We are.
Oh, okay.
So let's chat if you want.
Yeah, so there's a reason for that, right? Vitalik has been trying to migrate Ethereum to proof of stake, keeps delaying it over and over again. He still hasn't been able to, and he's flouting out this idea that proof of stake is superior to proof of work. Proof of stake is more of the system we have today, where the stakeholders, the ones with the most amount of fiat, or in this case, Ethereum, are actually the ones that are controlling the network. And if you contrast that with Bitcoin, as long as you run a node, right, you get to choose whether you want to run, a certain type of Bitcoin software or you don't. With Ethereum, if you don't upgrade, it's no longer your money anymore. You have to continue upgrading to those Ethereum hard forks, or else that old Ethereum that you were holding in your hardware wallet, not useful anymore. That will never happen in Bitcoin because Bitcoin is backwards compatible. You could be running the first version of Bitcoin Core and you could still spend that said Bitcoin and send it to the newest Bitcoin addresses that support Taproot and all that good stuff, right? Ethereum's not like that, man. So I hate MSNBC and all these people, man, that equate Bitcoin to cryptocurrencies because it just hurts. It just hurts Bitcoin, dude, because they're not the same. They're not the same. Everything is centralized. Bitcoin is the only truly decentralized. I hate calling it this, but the only truly decentralized cryptocurrency. I'm so sorry, Phil.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay. And it's very good that you brought that up about the proof of stake, right? Because we are going to discuss something that's along the same line of shitcoining, which is the pre-mine, right? Because people don't seem to understand that 70%, okay, of Ethereum's supply in the beginning was pre-mined. Okay, people don't seem to understand that. So here we go. This is an article from 2018, Vitalik Buterin under fire over Ethereum's pre-mine. And it was a fellow Bitcoiner, Matt O'Dell, right, from Tales from the Crypt, right? Shout out. So here we go. Let's dive into it a bit. So first I'm going to read this tweet from Vitalik. I personally am really proud to have helped set the precedent of small pre-mines being legitimate. It's an appalling idea that people operating boxes burning huge piles of electricity are somehow the only ones who should be allowed to gain from shitcoin seigniorage revenue.
Hold on right there. Remember what I told you about shitcoiners being communists?
Yes! Everybody should be a kingdom, Nico. Everybody should be a kingdom. You don't need to have to earn it. You should just be allowed to have it.
Us, the major stakeholders
in the
socialist republic of Ethereum are the ones that are going to dictate who gets what and who gets what, right? Oh my God, dude, that literally, dude, it's proving what I was saying, before it was a gut feeling. That just puts the nail in the coffin. Anyways, Phil, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nope, let's continue.
Am I seeing things that are not there?
Am I crazy?
That's what I feel like.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Okay. Oh, anyways, Odell, here we go. This is how he responds. Number one, admits to legitimizing the pre-mine ICO model. Number two, still doesn't understand or feign ignorance mining economics or the unique value of distributed permissionless proof of work. Okay.
If socialists understood economics, they wouldn't be socialists.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying that.
All right, here we go. The problem with pre-mines. When Bitcoin was launched, there was no pre-mine. Satoshi Nakamoto, its pseudonymous creator, announced when mining would begin and published the software beforehand. That way, no one could have an unfair advantage by starting their mining early. So, yes, people... Before I go on to the next piece of this... Actually, you know what? Let me finish it, and then I'll explain it. This is what's called a fair launch. When 100% of the cryptocurrency has to be mined by the people. Pre-mines, on the other hand, do the opposite. By design, pre-mined cryptocurrencies, shitcoins, create a share of the supply at launch in the first block. The pre-mine is often distributed to developers, team members, and ICO investors.
The elite few... At the top of the central authority, getting to dictate what the terms are for the rest of the peasants living under them. Anyways.
That's right. So here we go. The criticism of pre-mines is that they centralize control of the shitcoin supply. For example, take XRP. When it was launched, 100 billion tokens were created. 20 billion were given to the founders, and 80 billion were given to the Ripple Corporation in order to dump on their bag, in order to fund development. By holding all of these coins, the founders could and do, I'm adding that myself, easily manipulate the price or influence governance decisions, thanks to their large share of the coin. For these reasons, many in the shitcoin community believe pre-mines are scams. But no, it's really just the people in Bitcoin that believe that they are scams, right? The shitcoiners validate this all the time. Okay, before I wrap this up, I just want to explain. You see, I've heard this argument that, oh, well, wait a second. You know, the cypherpunks got to mine it first. Okay, so look, it had to get dropped somewhere, right? There had to be somebody that understood what they were looking at to try it out. That's just the way things work. We can't go back in time, and there was zero expectation of value. Everyone exactly. was just trying it out. It is not the same thing. This is a shit coin with an expected value. Vitalik knew that people were going to go and buy these stupid bags because he understood that people did not understand. He completely understood this, and now he's the king of his own little castle, and... we've proven time and time again all the rug pulls that happen in his kingdom. Anyways, let's continue on. Okay, we're almost done here because we're going to talk about the max supply, right? This all goes back to that original article, right? The 800,000 burned ETH, right? See, Bitcoin doesn't have to do these shenanigans. It's all baked into the protocol. Okay, now let's take a look. This is I hate going to CoinMarketCap. I feel dirty just looking at it, but it's okay. All right, we're going to go here for a quick second. All right. Here's the total supply, right, which is what's out here now, which is 118 million, which, by the way, is 19 million more than what was specified 3 years ago. 3 years ago, it was 99 million that was specified. Somehow there's more. But they burned 800,000 tokens, so it's deflationary. Pay no attention to the math. Doesn't matter about math, okay? Unicorns and happiness. Max supply is empty. So here we go. Max supply, 18 million ETH, right? But it's not 18 million ETH. That's not what they're talking about. Ethereum's supply model differs from Bitcoin's supply model. Bitcoin's maximum supply will be limited to 21 million, as we all know. Whereas the Ethereum platform has an unlimited supply, and this is the best part about your burned 800,000 shitcoins, but an annual maximum supply of 18 million ETH. Who cares that you burned 800,000 every year? They can issue 18 million more. And there's no cap.
They can issue more if they want to. All it takes, Vitalik, is just to snap his finger, man. The whole point, man, is that this is centralized. It's controlled by a group of human beings. Therefore, it could be corrupted. You're at the mercy of those human beings, right? To essentially you know, play by the rules. Or, like, your benevolent dictators of Vitalik, of Brad Garlinghouse, your hope, your wealth, your future is in their hands. When your wealth is in Bitcoin, and even with fiat, if your wealth is in fiat, your future, your wealth is in the hands of the U.S. government, of the Fed. When your money's in Bitcoin, it's in the hands of no one but yourself. The monetary policy is set in stone. That is the difference. The innovation with Bitcoin is separating the monetary policy away from human beings. Clearly, right? That is not the case with Ethereum. He even justifies that some type of pre-mine is okay. When I see that, it's like, if I am the benevolent dictator of this said currency, I'm gonna do the best thing for everybody because I can control it and I know what's best. And in terms of the supply burn or whatever it's the supply, the burning of Ethereum, whatever the fees, I don't know, even though they just come up with new words every day, I can't keep up with it. But the point is that they did that as a marketing gimmick to pump up the price. Remember, these people literally benefit from people buying their bags, and all they do is just dump those bags on those people. When they bought in for pennies on the dollar, these people were buying Ethereum for less than a dollar in the pre-mine, in the pre-sale. And all the VCs got into it, all those people. I forget what his name is, that the billionaire's name. I'll pop up his face. The point is, dude, is that, like, dude, it's more of the same. This is all more of the same, whether it's Ethereum, whether it's XRP, whether it's any of these things. The point is that they're controlled, they're centralized, they're controlled by human beings. Therefore, they could be corrupted, even if they start with the best intentions. If you contrast that with Bitcoin, Bitcoin had a virgin birth, meaning when Hal first started running Bitcoin, when Satoshi was mining the first Bitcoins, right? They had no idea it was going to have any value. In fact, they were mining at a loss. Every single cryptocurrency that was created since then, right? The founders knew from the very beginning, as Phil showed you in that tweet by Vitalik, right, that pre-mine was going to have value, right? So it was corrupted right from the very beginning, right? So in the short term, yeah, you know, they might out compete Bitcoin for sure. But in the long term, right, what you'll see with all of these shit coins is that they trend to zero as Bitcoin goes up. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Meme Review, sponsored by... The Daily Meme Review is brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. Get yourself a physical copy. There's only 1,000 made per volume. Citadel21.com. All right, everybody. The meme for today. Check it out. The first one. But wait. What is that? What do you want, Satoshi? Apparently, Satoshi's saying we hit an all-time high. Is that true, Phil?
It is. 67,800 just now while we're recording.
I think that's the first time it's happened live, dude. That's crazy. And for anyone who's new to the channel, this is Satoshi, the Bitcoin chicken. And he clucks only when the price of Bitcoin reaches an all-time high. And that just did. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Good stuff. Very excited for the end of the year. I'll just say that. Anyways, first meme. Brought to us by HODL, never SODL, never. Amazing name.
Well done.
And check this out. It's a European Central Bank, and this is what I'm talking about, the information war and how memes are the frickin' artillery, okay? So let's join the conversation at this week's. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing Europe's banking sector? I clicked other, and obviously Bitcoin. Credit risk, though, it's both doesn't look very good for them. Climate change. Oh, my God. Okay, anyways, just to specify, We don't, like, you know, climate change is real. We believe in climate change. We just don't believe that giving bureaucrats more power is going to solve anything, especially when they just take their own private jets to go meet in Glasgow and tell us peasants, you know, that, oh, you got to stop consuming less, right? How big was Joe Biden's motorcade? 80 vehicles burning that sweet, sweet gasoline? No, but us peasants, we're expected to walk, right? Anyways.
Okay. It's anyways, okay, Nico. Back it's for our protection.
Man. The plural is broad. We got to walk. Okay. Anyways, embracing Bitcoin. 2017, Bitcoiners don't know about our central bank digital currencies. Here's Christine Lagarde. 2021, Bitcoiners don't care about our central bank digital currency.
They don't matter.
Nope, they don't. That's right. Opt out on every level. Next meme is brought to us by Sylvian Sorrell. The market, don't be fooled by the FOMO. The market today. Freedom power. This is exactly what happens with the shitcoins.
Yeah.
It's so easy, but it makes it so difficult because of the unit bias, what we've been talking about. We have to get rid of that, man. When we are powerless, the exchanges. Follow Strike's example. Follow Cash App's example. We need to move to a SAT standard. Anyways, next one is brought to us by Pubby. Give them a follow, Publord Hoddle. They'll never learn. I'm all in Shiba now. You were just all in Doge. Doge is a shitcoin. Shiba's the future. You're going to get wrecked again. Not this time, pal. Man.
I love these.
Okay, moving on to the last one. By Her Majesty Stacey Herbert from the legendary Kaiser Report. I was a quadrillionaire in Zimbabwe, but could barely afford to buy bread, right? And I think this is a foreshadowing of what fiat money is. Fiat money is paper. It's literally, it's freaking paper. Look at this paper. Paper, it's paper garbage. Look at this. You see the fancy? It's paper, it's worth nothing. And because of that, that was my meme score. Worthless paper. I think this is a Bolivar. 20 bolivars, this is like 0.00. I think the actual paper that it's printed in is worth more than the monetary value of that said currency. It's all dog shit, Phil.
Dude, that was an epic score. You're gonna make me look terrible. Anyways, all right. Great memes. I always love the ones of the and I'm totally forgetting their names, but the biker guys or whatever, the ones that had that show, the father and son, and sons, I think the ones that you just showed the meme.
Oh,
with the, you
know, the was it? Isn't it the Pawn Shop people?
No, those aren't the Pawn Shop people. That's Pawn Stars. Those guys are like the biker guys, I think, where they soup up the bikes. Anyways, doesn't matter.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but I forget the name.
Great memes, and I am giving it this. 12 volt strobe light. It's not really that kind of one. It's a little bit more having to do with like building security and stuff like that.
But like when if one of those like doors,
like
opens.
One of those things in the hallway, right? You know that blinks like when something's going on.
Oh, okay.
Wires into one of those panels. Yeah. Anyways.
Got you. Anyways. And guys, do you agree with our interesting scores? Do you disagree? Let us know down in the comment section. And join our Telegram group. Make us some memes to review, because the Bitcoin meme review, we need memes. But anyways, Phil, it's time for The Daily News, sponsored by... The Daily News is brought to you by Crypto Cloaks. Get yourself the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the Bitcoin 3D printed Bitcoin art grenade thing. Yeah, get yours today, CryptoCloaks.com. All right, everybody. We were covering Taproot when we were seeing whether the miners were going to signal for it. They did. And contrast this to Ethereum, right? Where Ethereum makes you hard fork, right? This was all voluntary, right? And people came together to reach consensus in a decentralized manner, right? So this kind of debunks all the narratives that you need centralization to get things done. So pretty historic. Taproot activates in 6 days. What is Taproot? That's an excellent question. This article does a really good job at explaining what the benefits are, right? Taproot is a major event and a major upgrade, the largest one since SegWit, which was activated in 2017. Taproot is expected to expand Bitcoin's smart contract and scripting capabilities. That sounds like a nail in the coffin for a lot of shitcoins. Improve privacy measures. I love that. Reduce fees for multi-signature / complex transactions. It will reduce the data needed for processing complex transactions, such as those involving multiple signatures or time locking. Enhanced wallet functionality by letting developers set more complex conditions for wallets. Improve privacy on the second layer solutions like the Lightning Network by making channels look like regular Bitcoin transactions if integrated into the Lightning implementations. So just to kind of give you guys a quick recap of what Taproot is, what the benefits are. It is a highly complex. Last time we got Ben the Car Man, a legendary Ben the Car Man, to explain us. But I think that article does a pretty good job. Pretty historic. In 5 days, we'll have, you know, that update, man. It's pretty cool, and it adds a lot of cool privacy features to Bitcoin, so those evil chain analysis companies have an even harder time tracking, trying to see what you're doing with your Bitcoin. Phil?
You know, I'm pretty surprised that we were able to do this without a centralized entity. I mean, you know, we needed, I'm surprised that we didn't have a foundation. There's no marketing department. I don't even know how this was pulled off. Frankly, I just don't think it's going to work in 5 days. You know, that's just that's the crux of the matter. Anyway, /S, obviously, like, being totally sarcastic. This is ridiculousness. Look, it's fantastic that this is happening. Again, to the average user, you know, you're not really going to see anything on the front end. You're not going to really notice much in your wallets or anything like that, right? Like, this is not like a big, like, UI improvement. This isn't a UI improvement at all, right? This has to do with the stability. This has to do with, well, I shouldn't say the stability. This has to do with the back end, and it has to do with the security and opening up future feature sets on Lightning. So, you know what? This is just, it's another step, it's another block, right? With no pun intended, right? It's another block that's being built on top of Bitcoin. And hey, look, you know what? I'm just excited to see, I'm excited to see what comes of it, because truly, I don't really know, right? Like, I don't really understand what the implications of Taproot are entirely. I know what we just read, but what does that really mean to us? So that's what I'm excited for.
Yeah, man. It proves all the narratives wrong. Just like the mining migration, you didn't need a central entity saying, hey, miners, relocate, trying to ban this. Again, this proves that you can make a pretty big update to the Bitcoin network without any central authority. Consensus is possible in a decentralized manner. That's what I see as significant. Guys, we've been covering this inflation fiasco, and we're going to keep covering it, to be honest with you, because it's fucking hilarious, because we hold Bitcoin. And again, like we've been saying, not only us, but the legendary Max Kaiser as well, right, is that these people, okay, whether it's Powell or whether it's Christine Lagarde, you have to understand something, Yellen, they're highly educated people. Okay, as much as we dislike them, you know, because they lie and all that stuff, they're highly educated. And the media as well. They're educated as well. And the excuses just keep getting even more and more and more and more and more ridiculous to try to take your attention away from what is actually happening. Mm-hmm. Check out this article, Phil. This is real. This is a real article. This is insane. I never thought I would see something like this. How COVID became the unlikely hero of our inflation crisis. Oh my God. The message Americans have been getting about inflation from in recent months could be summed up in four words. Be afraid. Very afraid. Right? But the article goes on to say, of course, having the price of something you buy a ton of rise 10 to 20% in a matter of months hurts, but that's the point. It's enough to talk about the inflation we actually do have. Inflation we haven't really had to deal with for more than a decade. You don't need to, as it were, over-egging the pudding. I don't even know what that means. But check this out. This is her excuse. At the same time, any discussion of inflation needs to include the context in which it's happening. Historically, recessions have left Americans poorer, not better off. But the COVID recession was different. As people shifting their habits drastically in response to the pandemic, they spent much less and saved more. Saved in what?
Saved what? You printed all of the value that they held away and then inflated the prices. These people are on frickin' rocks, man.
Even though millions of Americans lost their jobs, enhanced employment benefits and stimulus payments left many of them better off, not worse. And the stock market, after initially falling, boomed. The result of all this was that Americans ended 2020 $13.5 trillion richer than they were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, rich Americans. Rich Americans.
So, okay, let me translate.
Amazon?
Let me translate this, okay? So, the elites were like, here are your little fake cuck bucks that are constantly losing value. So on paper, and it kind of, it's very reminiscent of the meme that Stacey Herbert had to say, right? Yeah, on paper, you definitely have more money, right? On paper, you know, look, I was a quadrillionaire in Zimbabwe, but barely able to afford to buy bread. So it's the same message. It's like, yeah, on paper, you might be richer with the fake fiat money, right? But at the end of the day, the people that did get richer were the government, it was the state, right? And it was the top 1% that most benefit from the fiat money printer. So that article is a pure and utter misdirection play telling you that the price that you're paying at the gas is irrelevant because you got a $1,200 stimulus check. And that makes it okay. And this tells me, guys, that the house of cards, it's not only about to collapse, it's collapsing. We're witnessing this with our own eyes. You see this with the rhetoric from the other politicians. Christine Lagarde had to do some soul searching to find out what inflation was. Powell says it's frustrating, right? And again, you see it with Biden the other day blaming it on private corporations for price gouging, even though, right, we read you a Financial Times article that literally said it is the record amount of money printing. So it's just crazy, Phil, how they're trying to justify, you know, to the general public, right, that this is a good thing. Inflation is actually a good thing. But that, here's the thing, though, they could only do that for so long, because no matter how way you spin it, no matter how much propaganda you're trying to put out there, it doesn't matter. The sticker price is the sticker price. And it will scare the living shit out of you. And you're not going to believe that anymore. And hopefully what that's going to do is wake up a lot of people, which I've seen this happening, to a better, sounder money that can't be debased. Phil?
These people are completely insane. I mean, you know, I work for a large corporation, you know, went through COVID just like everyone else. And let me tell you something. As soon as they could cut, they did. They cut whatever they could. And then what they did was they gave us the guise of, oh, we did everything we could first before we cut from you. So, look, this bullshit nonsense that Americans got richer during COVID, okay? Which Americans got richer? The American corporations? Amazon got richer? I'm pretty sure Apple got richer. I'm pretty sure Microsoft got richer. I'm pretty sure NVIDIA got richer. Right? I'm pretty sure that a lot of tech giants got richer. I really don't see how the average person got richer. I mean, are these people, like, where do they drive around? There's more stores closed. There's, I mean, are you kidding me? There's the unemployment. They can't. There was a, you know what? There was a. I don't even know who it was that was talking. I completely forget her name. But there was a video essentially explaining that the people aren't going back to work. They're having a problem getting people to go back to work. And she essentially made the claim that it was the patriotic duty that people take these jobs that nobody wants. So there is a big problem. Americans are not better off, okay, because the government printed away the wealth and value. This is psychotic nonsense, and it's short-term thinking.
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is just the beginning. It looks like it kind of works, but it doesn't really work.
This is the tip of the iceberg. Their excuses are going to get worse and worse, and the reaction to try to keep the power of the money printer is going to become more and more totalitarian. You kind of see a snippet of that with the infrastructure bill passing yesterday, which we covered. But anyways, moving on, what is it about central bankers and fiat economists and their obsession with calling Bitcoin not a currency? Okay, so apparently it's up to the fiat bankers and the fiat economists, and it's only their job to decide what a currency is, and it's not the free market that decides what is and what isn't a currency. Let's check out what Governor McKellum had to say. Let's check it out. He is, I think he's a central banker of Canada. I might be mistaken, but let's check it out.
Let's be clear. Bitcoin is not a digital currency. People do not use Bitcoin to buy things. People use Bitcoin, they're speculating. It's an investment. And I'll let other people give investment advice as to whether it's a good investment. But it is not a currency in the sense that you and I transact in Bitcoin.
Well, people are paying for stuff. They're pay me in Bitcoin. I'll buy your house in Bitcoin.
The amount of stuff that really gets bought and sold in Bitcoin is very small. It's mostly people buying it for speculative purposes. They're buying it because they think the price is going to go up and they're going to make money. They're not buying it to buy their groceries or buy their house or fill up their gas tank.
But we will.
Okay, so first of all, look at the fucking the elitism in him.
Yeah, look at he's so sure of himself.
Look at the denial.
Slug prick.
Right? It's like the free market is telling you one thing. And let me talk about the financial privilege that this gentleman enjoys. He lives in a Western country that benefits from, you know, the fiat money printer, and he doesn't have to deal with inflation, okay? So check this out, Phil, okay? Inflation is happening globally, okay? Even in Canada, even in his country, okay? So if instead of looking at Bitcoin from a investment or speculative standpoint, how about you look at Bitcoin as a way to maintain your value, for your value not to be debased away by these crazy, crazy politicians? Check out these numbers, dude. Turkey, 20%. Argentina, 52%. Russia, 8%. Mexico, 6%. The US, 5.4%. Canada, 4.4%. This is what Bitcoin is for. This is what Bitcoin is for. But the reason that he was reacting the way that he's reacting is because, I'm going to do the Joe Biden whisper, because they're scared. They're very scared. They're terrified. And again, if it wasn't being used for payments, then why did in the infrastructure bill, did they include a clause that says that every payment over $10,000, you must report to us? But apparently it's not being used as a currency, right? They're telling you one thing, but then they're saying another, right? But let me show you how terrified these people are. I searched El Salvador Bitcoin legal tender on Google. Look at the first articles that pop up. El Salvador botches Bitcoin adoption. Bitcoin, this is the only kind of neutral one. El Salvador adoption of Bitcoin as legal tender is pure folly. El Salvador's world's first adoption of Bitcoin endures bumpy.
They're country working overtime.
And then Yes, here we go. Bitcoin use in El Salvador grows amid setbacks since its launch. You get the point. There was one really neutral article right here that kind of shows you, you know, what's really going on, right? What they don't want you to know, I'm going to go back to this is what Bitcoin is for. It's to maintain your wealth. It's to protect yourself from government debasement. And there's another thing this gentleman didn't mention as well, right? So again, he lives in a privileged country that has relatively low inflation. But what if you don't live in a privileged country? What if you live in a country that doesn't have a banking system at all? Like Afghanistan, it was cut off from the world legacy financial system, and there was giant bank runs all over Afghanistan the day that the Taliban took over. Just to read kind of the part of the article, for many Afghans, this week has laid bare the worst case scenario for a country running on legacy financial rails, a nationwide cash shortage, closed borders, and a plunging currency rapidly raising prices of goods. You know what currency was working in Afghanistan? Joe Biden whisper, Bitcoin. Right? So again, very convenient for him to leave this off. But it's not just Afghanistan. Check this out, Phil. Lebanon's inflation rate is worse than Zimbabwe's and Venezuela. Lebanon's annual inflation rate is the highest in the world, according to Bloomberg data. So I hope you guys start to get the picture here of what's really going on, right? The central bankers are trying to justify a reason as to their existence. They're no longer necessary in post-Bitcoin. Right? Bitcoin is a better system. It's a more inclusive system. It's a system that protects the wealth of individuals from the debasement of currency by governments to enrich themselves, pay for wars, pay for these social programs that they can't afford. And what that they're terrified of, right? And it was actually the Bank of International Settlements that touched upon this a little bit, right? Is this idea of cryptonization, which basically what that means is a country, instead of dollarizing, what it does, it just cryptodizes, it bitcoinizes, right? And it takes out the legacy system altogether, right? You're already starting to see that in multiple countries. You have the Kingdom of Tonga, we had Lord Fisucha, you had El Salvador, right? You have interest from politicians in Panama, you have interest from politicians in Brazil. And now, check this out, speaking of the devil, right? Zimbabwe, which was famous for that $100 trillion Zimbabwe note, report, Zimbabwe government consulting private sector on legalizing Bitcoin. The government of Zimbabwe is reportedly considered adopting Bitcoin as a legal payment service, according to a local news outlet. The nation's government is actively consulting with the private sector on the merits of Bitcoin and shitcoins. During a Computer Society of Zimbabwe summit, permanent secretary and head of e-government technology unit in the office of President Charles Wekewete announced that Bitcoin and shitcoin consultation with the private sector are already in progress. Now, why would Zimbabwe do this? Zimbabwe's government is reportedly skeptical that Bitcoin may externalize funds from the nation. According to data from the World Bank, Zimbabwe received 7.2% of its GDP in remittances in 2020. So compare that to El Salvador, which about 24%, Zimbabwe's is 7%. And guess what happened when El Salvador switched from the legacy Western Union? It switched to Bitcoin, which saved millions of dollars for its citizens. In Zimbabwe, it looks like it's going to do the same, right? So trying to paint a complex overarching picture, right, which is you have the legacy institutions that are in cahoots with the legacy media outlets, right, that are trying to tell you a different story, right? But here's the thing. NGU technology and the power of Bitcoin doesn't care. Honey Badger doesn't care, right? And it just provides a better value proposition than the legacy financial system. And what I was telling you before, guys, I've been telling you this for days now, for weeks, right? Is that the revolution of Bitcoin is going to happen in those countries, in countries that least benefit from the legacy financial system. And the countries that most benefit from the legacy financial system, like the United States, like Canada, like the UK, like the European Union, are actually going to be the most hostile, right? And you kind of see that already with the infrastructure bill. But I'm super bullish for the people of Zimbabwe, man. They're going to be the first ones to enjoy a freedom future under a Bitcoin standard, you know? So anyways, really interesting developments. But I'm just so glad to see, man, the reaction in that banker's face, the absolute meltdown that he was having. He just could have justified in his head. And I love what the reporter was saying. He's like, but people are using Bitcoin as payments. And he's like, no, that's not true. And the reason he has to say that, Phil, is because, dude, he has no other option. He has no other recourse. What if he does say that Bitcoin, oh, yeah, they're using Bitcoin as a currency. Then why does he exist? Why does he exist? Why does he deserve the power that he does, right? Anyways, no one should have the power to be able to print unlimited amounts of money just because you win a popularity contest or just because you've been appointed. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, and Bitcoin fixes this.
People should take a look at the issuing power behind the Canadian Central Bank. They are the same. It is the same issuing power that gives the Federal Reserve its ability to, you know, to print the money. It's the same. It's the same group of people. Okay. It is the same banking cartel. Okay. Like all of this is a giant scam. Okay. So they essentially somehow this cartel makes it possible for countries to be able to print money. And again, you could see that this guy was frustrated. You could see that he had no response to it. And it's just, look, it's frustrating to them, I think, to a certain extent, because when they don't think for a second, these people don't sit there and question this stuff themselves, right? But their incentives are like, it doesn't matter. This system isn't dying. I just have to do this. Okay, and you know what? Look, there is nothing wrong with change. There's nothing wrong with changing for something better, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, people sit there and they're like, oh, well, yeah, you know, you know, Bitcoiners are like champions of destruction. Like, you realize that you destroy a chair, like you destroy a tree to make a chair, right? Like, the whole path of change is nothing that, you know, this is something that is constant for us. You know, it's strange that as humans, we don't embrace change, but that's the problem, right? We've got this small group of people that chill and check all innovation and all power, okay? And they decide. And I know, again, like, I hate to do the whole, like, the tinfoil hat with the they, but I can just simply brand it as the banking cartel. No, and, you know, and the central banking cartel.
That isn't a tinfoil hat. That is exactly what it is. That is the central banking system. It is a cartel. They made a moat around themselves, right? And they use regulators to make the bar to meet those regulations so unsurmountable that they wouldn't get any competition themselves. But in the process of building this moat around themselves that they thought that it would protect themselves, they didn't plan for Bitcoin.
Because they built the cage.
The issue with Bitcoin is that it's a system that operates parallel that doesn't care about their rules, right? So you see these central bankers and you see it in their face. We're like, I want to shut this down. How is this legal? How does this work? And Bitcoin, TikTok, next block. It doesn't care, right? And not only does it care, it proves to the world that all of that overarching regulation and all that red tape isn't necessary. And not only is it necessary, it's evil, dude. It's evil. It unbanks people. It deems them unbankable. Just because you were born in a certain country, we just pulled up that Afghanistan article. Do you think it's fair that you're not allowed to participate in the world economy? In the legacy system, that's exactly what that means. In the Bitcoin system, doesn't care where you're from, doesn't care what your skin color is, doesn't care what your sexuality is, doesn't care what your favorite color is. It's all inclusive. It banks the unbanked. And this is why these people are so terrified, because they don't have a way to attack it, right? If they attack it, they expose really who they are. They're trying to do the energy FUD. That's not working because Bitcoin uses stranded energy, right? So again, man, it really sucks to be them. But at the same time, I don't feel bad, because these people absolutely deserve it. And they've been stealing from the lower and the middle class, and they've been giving it back to the state and their wealthy cronies at the top, man. Oh, man, I'm so excited to see the system burn down. But anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases. All right, everyone, the software releases are brought to you by CypherSafe.io. We're talking stainless steel products. They help you protect your Bitcoin from crazy stuff that happens. Okay. We've got Sparrow Wallet version 1.5.2. That is a Bitcoin wallet that I keep getting told amazing things about. It's down below in the show notes. Check it out.
Sparrow! Sparrow! I don't know if that's what sparrows do, but I'm going to keep doing it every time we do the Sparrow Wallet, because it's fun. It's a bird noise. Anyways, guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button! We're pumped because of Bitcoin all-time high. And of course, if you want to continue hearing the catastrophic fails in the Bitcoin news from the PleebClap perspective, definitely consider subscribing. And we'll see you tomorrow, guys, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin.
The central bankers thought they built an impenetrable moat. They built a cage for themselves instead.